to faithfully proclaim your word. Help us to receive your word and to be shaped and molded by it. For these things we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. As we consider an extended discourse of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, we come to see that Jesus is not only the loving Lord and Savior, but also the one who keeps and protects us in his mercy and his grace. He is the Good Shepherd, but he is also the Almighty One who is able to keep these weak and frail sheep of his fold. I think it would be helpful to give some background in this discourse of Jesus. Our text says in John 10, 22 and 23, at the time of the feast of dedication took place in Jerusalem, it was winter and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. And so this teaching of Jesus occurs at the feast of dedication, which was during the winter months. This feast was not one that was commanded in the Old Testament. For instance, in Exodus 23, it commands Israel to celebrate Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. This feast remembers the rededication of the temple in 164 BC. It was during that time that the Seleucid king Antiochus IV, who called himself Epiphanes, had forbidden the Jews to continue their practice of religion and had tried to force them to worship Zeus. In fact, he really wanted to stick it in the face of the Jewish people. So he had appointed his own priest and set up an altar and had ordered that a pig be sacrificed on that altar. A pig, obviously, being a non-kosher, unclean animal. And his attempt to do that was interrupted because Jewish Maccabeus killed that priest on the way up to the altar. And so Hanukkah commemorates this time that Judas Maccabeus and his sons revolted against Antiochus Epiphanes in 164 BC. It was at this feast that Jesus gives this teaching of the Good Shepherd. So my first point is that the claims of Christ as being the divine Son of God and the promises that he gives to his sheep. The Jewish leaders urge Jesus to answer this question in John 10, 24. If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. They ask a simple question, and Jesus gives them a simple answer in John 10, 25, where he says, I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. Jesus, in this simple answer, is affirming that he is the Christ. But both his words and miracles affirm this consistent and harmonious message from Jesus. He then states, as a matter of fact, that these religious leaders will not believe or accept the evidence of his being Lord, and that they do so because they are not his sheep. This is not to say that none of them would eventually come to believe in Jesus as Lord, but it does mean that anyone who comes to Christ comes not in his own wisdom or his own religious inclination, but based on the fact that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, saves and preserves them. He inclines their heart that they come to believe the gospel. Jesus goes on to make these promises to his people found in John 10, 27 through 30, which says, my sheep hear my voice, and I love them, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Notice the wording of John 10:27, that Christ knows his sheep. It is Christ's knowledge of us that is preeminent. We are able to hear his voice and follow him because he first knows us and protects us and loves us. So the consequence of Christ's knowledge of us is that we follow him. The present tense of this verb denotes a habitual following him. And so Jesus, as the good shepherd, as I pointed out last week, is making a claim of deity. He's making a claim of deity by saying that he gives eternal life to his sheep. Only God is the author of eternal life. You and I cannot dispense eternal life. We just can't, because we're sinners. We don't have the authority to do that. But Jesus does, because he is God. And he claims he is able to protect and preserve his relationship with his sheep. The reason no one is able to snatch a sheep, a believer, out of the hand of God the Father and Jesus is due to the fact that God the Father is almighty. And in fact, in a parallel way, Jesus, God the Son, is also almighty. And so the promise of Jesus that both he and the Father would protect and preserve his sheep is full of comfort and support for God's people. Left to my own devices, can I in my own strength continue to be committed to Jesus? The answer is no. But Jesus holds me, and he loves me, and he has a firm grasp of my salvation so that I am able to persevere. J.I. Packer, in his classic book, Knowing God, said this about the promise of Christ keeping his people in our salvation. Quote, "Here God's knowledge of those who are associated with his whole purpose of saving mercy. It is a knowledge that implies personal affection, redeeming action, covenant faithfulness, and providential watchfulness towards those whom God knows. It implies, in other words, salvation now and forever, as hinted before. This momentous knowledge, this is unspeakable comfort, the sort of comfort that energizes in knowing that God is constantly taking good care of me in love and watching over me for my good." End of quote. So we see the almighty strength of the Lord Jesus and his Father as they protect us by enabling us to continue in our faith in the Lord. Leon Morris says this in his commentary, quote, "It is one of the precious things about the Christian faith that our continuance in eternal life depends not on our feeble hold of Christ, but of his firm grasp of us." End of quote. So Christ gives to his sheep eternal life to those who hear his voice and follow him as the divine Lord and Savior. Christ gives us endless union with God the Father through faith in him. But let us take note, he does not protect us from physical harm, for we do experience trouble, suffering, and strife in this world. But the Lord Jesus keeps us from perishing according to his almighty power. He protects our faith in him so that Christian believers persevere in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sheep does not listen to false teaching precisely because Christ warns us inwardly, don't listen to that. And he keeps us from those spiritual dangers which would imperil our relationship with God. The sheep do not jump out of God's hand because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, keeps us from eternally straying from him. That's not to say that believers don't sin, nor does it say they never backslide, because we do. Charles Spurgeon once made the point about believers either straying or backsliding. They remain on the ark of salvation, but they will not jump overboard. Slip and fall they will, but they will not jump overboard. And the reason they don't is because of Christ's grip on us. But it also reminds us the saints will persevere, but the saints must persevere. In this passage, we see both God's sovereignty and our salvation and our human responsibility to believe in Jesus as the divine Christ and our Lord and Savior, our Good Shepherd. If these words of John 10, 27 to 29 aren't clear enough, Jesus makes the statement in John 10, 30, I and the Father are one. This is clearly another claim of Jesus that he is truly divine. He is not only in union with the Father's will to save and protect his sheep, but that very action of preserving his sheep is due to the fact that Jesus has an eternal relationship with the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit possess alike the fullness of the divine nature. So God the Father and God the Son possess this divinity which underlies their unity in saving and keeping us his people. As John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 has taught us, that Jesus, the Word, is with God. Jesus is God. The Jewish leaders totally understood what Jesus was talking about, because at that point, they picked up stones to stone Jesus. Instead of denying their accusation, he backs up his claim. As they are about to stone him, he says, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered, for good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. The Jewish leaders readily admit they're not attempting to stone Jesus for a miracle, but for his claim to be God. They knew Jesus was claiming to be God, but they believed his claim was false, and therefore he was committing blasphemy. This brings me to my second point, which is that Jesus defends his claim of deity. In John 10, 34 through 36, Jesus defends his claim of deity from Scripture itself. Our Lord's reasoning has some complexity as he quotes from Psalm 82 and then makes a logical parallel from that verse. In Psalm 82, God is reproving the civil judges within Israel for not making just decisions in their rendering in court. In Psalm 82, 2 through 4, the judges are reproved by the Lord for judging unjustly and for showing partiality to the wicked. And then he commands the judges to vindicate the weak and the fatherless, to do justice to the afflicted and destitute. And then in Psalm 82, 6, we hear these words from the Lord, which he says, I said, you are gods, small g, and all you are sons of the Most High. It's this verse that Jesus quotes. And unless we read it carefully, we might think, Jesus, what are you talking about? He reminds the Jewish leaders that Scripture cannot be broken, and that the Jewish judges have received a commission from God to exercise and mirror divine justice in their civil judgments by declaring guilty those who have broken the law and by vindicating those who are innocent. And in doing that, they are fulfilling a God-given responsibility and delegation. And in that way, in essence, they are mirroring God's judgment. This psalm is an indictment against the judges in Israel for not faithfully acting as just judges. Even as these religious leaders did not judge accurately either John the Baptist as a prophet or Jesus as the Messiah. And so even the judges fulfilled a divine function, and God says about them, "You are gods." How much more the divine Son of God? We reflect the image of God, but here's God in flesh, and you won't acknowledge him. Jesus defends also his claims of deity by the miracles that he did. Even though the Pharisees picked up stones to stone Jesus, he calmly continues to teach and defend his claims of being the divine Son of God. In John 10, 37 through 39, Jesus appeals to the works and the miracles that he did so that they may come to believe in him as the Messiah and the Christ. His words in these verses are an appeal to them to believe. Even if you don't believe my claim, my words, believe the miracles that I have done. The works that he has already done in this gospel include turning the water into wine, feeding the 5,000, healing a lame man, healing a blind man, walking on the water, to mention just a few of Christ's miracles. And some of them were very public miracles that they could witness with their own eyes. Jesus is urging them to believe the message of his miracles, even if they have doubts about his claims. In the end, both Christ's words and his miracles say the same thing, that Jesus is God. He is the divine Son of God, sent by his Father to reconcile broken humanity back to himself by his death and resurrection. While the religious leaders are ready to stone him, Jesus is able to elude their grasp once again because his time has not come. Another illustration before their very eyes that he is sovereign. He will lay down his life at the proper time, but now is not that time. So he is able to elude their grasp and their desire to execute him. While the religious leaders are ready to stone him, our Lord in his grace patiently teaches them and displays divine grace as he urges them to believe on him in whom is the gift of eternal life. The concluding verses of this passage speak of the results of our Lord's patient instruction. Our Lord leaves the temple, and as he leaves the temple, he went into the region across the Jordan, the place where John the Baptist was baptizing at the first. And many believed in Christ's miracles and John the Baptist's earlier announcement that Jesus was the Lamb of God, the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. May we be bold in our trust in Jesus as our God, our good shepherd, and the giver of eternal life. Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise you and are grateful for sending your Son into the world for our salvation and for bringing us into your kingdom. Help us to be ever grateful to you, your mercy to us. Help us to be eternally grateful. Help us always to grow in our trust in you and your saving love. We thank you for preserving us each step of the way. These things we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.